Jackson. When you get to the club, you're gonna turn the tape off. You're gonna turn the tape off. You're gonna turn the tape off. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club. They watching us. They watching us. They watching us. Everybody on the club. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
Welcome to Zone In. I'm your host, Steve Lewis. And for the next hour, you will be zoned in for fitness. Today's guest is going to be Mr. Keith Johnson. He's coming back this week. He was on last week. Keith is a bodybuilder, personal trainer. He's a certified personal trainer. He's also a Parisi School. I have trouble with that sometimes. Parisi School personal trainer, also certified. Keith, how you doing?
Steve, what's happening, buddy? How you been?
Not too bad. Kind of a busy week. How about yours?
Yeah, things have been real busy, but, you know, I'm excited that you had me back on the show. I'd like to thank you again for that.
No problem. It was excellent last week. I'm sure we're going to do the same thing this week. And, you know, there's a lot of talk going on with obesity rates in the country, so you're doing your part to help everybody out here.
I'm trying.
You say you're trying. Okay. Well, is business picking up, or are things kind of leveling off? Or I mean, so I'm thinking, are more people interested in getting fit, or what? I mean, because now we've got, you know, President Obama, his wife Michelle, you know, has already started this initiative about, you know, getting fit, and there are several things out there now for all the cities across the nation, you know, to do something. So you would think with all this going on, the activity would pick up. I'm just trying to get a baseline for it.
I'd have to say people are more interested in working out. I've noticed amongst, you know, younger females, younger males, that they're starting to get more interested in weight training and being healthy at a younger age. But also at the same time, you got kids who are playing video games for 12 hours a day, drinking Mountain Dew and eating McDonald's, that are really keeping that obesity rate up high. But in general, I've noticed a good trend lately as far as our youth exercising more in a more formal format of the gym, and exercising for sport-specific, you know, activities. So as a whole, I think we're heading in the right direction. We just need to get our food under control with the American population.
Yeah.
But my business has been pretty good, so I can't complain about that. I've been very lucky, Steve.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I know you've been. It's hard to catch you because you're, you know, when I try to catch you when we're not doing the show, it's, you know, you're up in the morning, late at night. I mean, you're basically lending yourself to any schedule that people need in order to figure out, you know, when they can train and or either take in some kind of a consultation. I understand. That's great. We talked a little bit last week about, you know, the importance of nutrition and, you know, what it meant to being fit. You know, I mean, really, I remember years ago when I was reading, you know, different magazines like Muscular Development or back in the old days with Flex or something, you know, they would often quote guys as saying, you know, you could really feel your muscles growing sometimes just by eating certain foods. Well, I didn't really believe that, but now I have an understanding of what they're saying. They're saying that if you're so in touch with your body, you can kind of like, once you start to get to a certain point, that you can feel what's going on in your body. You can kind of feel yourself whether you're getting, you know, sometimes either too full, so it means that none of the, you know, what you're eating is going where it should be, or you can start to see, you know, start feeling a little pump, a little rush a little bit. So, you know, nutrition is really the biggest thing as far as fitness that I'm concerned about. I mean, that's number one. You still got to do the training. You still got to do some exercise, get your heart rate up. But, you know, nutrition starts it all. and last week we talked a little bit about what are some of the key macronutrients, so the stuff that you really got to get into your diet in order to, you know, to get on track. And one of the things was proteins. And so you started off on some of that. And I wanted to, you know, go back this week and touch on that. And so that you know, kind of give us an idea as to, like, you know, what your thoughts are and what your basically doing with your clients.
Steve, I'd like to comment on your statement. Nutrition is definitely the most important aspect of the fitness world. I tell my clients that it's at least 80% of everything. I mean, you can bust your butt in the gym, but if you're going out and eating burgers, french fries, and then having too many beers at night, you're not going to see the results you want to see. The main thing I'm doing with my clients currently, I'm trying to stress the importance of, you know, the proteins, like most trainers would say, but I'm also promoting healthy fats and making sure we're getting our carbohydrates in from good sources, you know, low glycemic, the carbs that are going to burn a little longer and slower, that's not going to get that huge insulin spike. That's currently what I'm doing with most clients.
Okay.
To comment on the protein, I really advocate about 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. And now most people might think, you know, I'm talking about 1 gram per pound of body weight, but I'm talking about your lean body mass, because we're never going to reach our body fat goals if we're taking in too much of anything. So to calculate your lean body mass, what you're going to have to do is find out your body fat. So let's say hypothetically you weigh 200 pounds and you're 10% body fat. You would just take 200, you know, and times that by 0.10. You get 20 pounds, and then so you're 180 pounds lean body mass. Therefore, you take in 180 grams of protein. That's about the easiest way to figure that one out.
Yeah, now let's do that again. Okay, so now you're saying that the lean body weight basically is, as I understand, is your total body weight less the fat, right?
Yeah, it's your total body weight minus your fat. So.
Okay.
You would have to know your body fat, and I mean, the best way to do that is probably estimate that, or most local gyms would have a body fat tester that's fairly about 80% accurate. Otherwise, you could go do hydrostatic weighing and such, but I would probably just estimate it.
Okay, all right. And your way of estimating that is, I mean, tell me again, because I was thinking fat, and then I was thinking lean body weight. Okay, so you're actually saying there's some kind of like quick multiplication that you can do with your lean.
Yeah, there's a formula you can do that's real simple. I mean, you're just going to take your total body weight,
okay,
and then you're going to times it by your percentage of body fat. So let's say you were 10% body fat and you weighed 200 pounds. You're going to take your 200, multiply that by 0.1, and then you're going to get that you got 20 pounds of body fat on you.
Okay,
and so then you do your total body weight minus your body weight, or your body fat, which would equal 200 minus 20 would equal 180. So therefore, I found out that I have 180 pounds of lean body mass that I need at least 1 gram of protein to maintain that muscle.
I guess. Okay. All right. Okay. Now I see what you're saying. Okay. So the thing is that it's going to take a little bit more just to calculate your lean body weight. But once you get your lean body weight, you're able to know what you should take in as far as protein. And I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay, yeah, and that's, yeah. And, you know, what I've been reading is, you know, different things, and I see people, the different trainers and dietitians and so forth, they are basically asking you to look at your total body weight and take care of protein based on your total body weight. Now, I don't agree with that. I agree with you. I mean, that's where I've seen results at, is that, like you say, so I'm definitely listening to you when you say that, you know, let's go by your lean body weight. Okay, all right. And then so you're saying 1 gram of protein per lean pound of body weight, and then, you know, you go from there. So that, you know, so if you're 184, if you're a 200-pound man, and you've got 20%, almost 20% of body weight, but you'd be around 180 pounds lean body weight. So that means 1 gram per pound. So 180 grams, is that per day, or that is that only on the day that you lift? Is that only on the day that you work out, or is that all the time, or what?
I'd advocate that to be every day, to be honest. I mean, if you have a really hard workout, you could probably up the protein a touch, but you should probably stay around there almost every day. I would probably adjust the carbs and fats on days you didn't work out, because you're not going to need quite as much energy. But we're going to still want to feed the body and keep our metabolism going, so we want to keep our proteins up, our healthy fats, and our good carbs, no matter what day of the week it is.
Okay. You know, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, people do things for convenience. So, you know, and now we're kind of introducing something here, you know, in terms of, you know, 1 gram per lean body weight, you know, and so, you know, somebody's going to be looking for a quick way of identifying what they need. So, I mean, I don't know. Here's my question. Okay. So if you're saying 184 grams of protein, okay, what would that look like? I mean, how much food is that throughout the day? If we're doing daily, what do you think? So like in the morning, you know, so
let's put it this way, Steve. Let's say we got to get our 180 grams of protein.
Okay.
We want to space that out evenly throughout the day. So we could, I would suggest, you know, eating anywhere from 4 to 6 meals a day, at least, minimum, keep that metabolism going. So let's say we do 180 divided by 6. That comes out to 30 grams of protein per meal. So for breakfast, you know, that could be a scoop of protein along with an egg. Then you can add in your oatmeal and such.
Okay.
But for also, you know, let's say chicken breast, that's probably about a 6 ounce chicken breast would be 30 grams of protein.
Okay.
Very similar with most fish, beef also, but that's going to bring a little extra fat with it depending on the cut of meat. But roughly I'd aim for that. And 30 grams of protein is a decent amount where your body can still absorb that much protein properly. That's why you want to space this protein throughout the day evenly, because your body's not going to be able to handle 150 grams of protein in one sitting.
In one sitting. I got you. Okay. Got you. And okay. I see what you're saying. So, yeah, so you space it out, you say about 6 meals. And now, okay, so 6 meals, I don't know. So what's the timing on it? You know, because everybody has different ideas on what, you know, 6 meals is. I mean, some people are thinking that 6 meals, you're actually sitting down and you're having 6 huge meals where you're eating all the time. I know I just saw something on the news a few months ago where Jillian, the high-profile personal trainer, you know, she was saying, well, I want you to cut back on the meals because sometimes, you know, too many meals means that your sugar level is going to be up too much. I mean, but I don't think she went into it enough to say what you're trying to say, which is you're saying just eat. You know, you're going to have different amounts that you eat throughout the day. And so, you know, like breakfast might be a nice sized meal. And then after that, you'd have what most people would consider a snack, maybe. Is that what you're saying? Or I'm just
trying
to get...
Exactly. It right there. I don't really eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's meal 1 through 6 to 8. You know, I don't say I'm eating dinner right now. I'd say, you know, I'm eating a meal. That's just how, I guess, in the fitness and bodybuilding community, I don't look at it as necessarily a meal or a dinner or a lunch or a breakfast. But you're right. We're not eating huge meals necessarily. We're just having smaller meals more often throughout the day. So we're still getting the same amount of macronutrients as we would in calories from our 3 big meals, but they're going to be better utilized by breaking them up into smaller meals and therefore keeping our metabolism going faster.
Okay. All right. Now, you said that, so if you're doing 180 grams, you know, and you were saying, you kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, your body may not be able to assimilate or process all that 180 at one time, so you kind of like have to space it out. So what, I mean, is that because of the type of protein, or is that because your body's just not ready to take it at a certain period of times, or what?
Well, your body definitely does. Meal timing is a huge aspect of the fitness industry, and you're correct as far as if we gave our body too much protein, it wouldn't be able to digest it, and most likely we're going to either get rid of it in the bathroom or we're going to store it as body fat. And I've heard a multitude of different options. People say your kidneys can't handle more than 30 grams. I've heard more than 50 grams. Personally, that's going to vary from person to person. I mean, I'm a 240-pound guy. My, you know, 120-pound girl won't be able to digest the same amount of protein that I would.
Right.
I think you got to figure that out a little bit on your own, but I would never go over more than 50 to 60 grams a meal, depending on the size of the male. You know, anywhere from 30 to 60 is what I would consider a fairly safe zone, depending on sex and your weight.
Okay.
Otherwise,
okay.
You're just going to waste a lot of that protein and stored body fat. I can tell you from experience, eat too much protein, you're going to gain body fat. Eat too much of anything, you're going to gain body fat. So
right, okay.
There's a myth in this industry that you can eat as much protein as you want and not get fat. That's not true.
Yeah. It's, well, and like you said before, I think it's just because you're going by your lean body weight as opposed to your total body weight and then what you need. So, but again, you know, what you're taking in at a certain period of time, your body's only going to be able to digest at a certain amount, right? And that's, and that,
exactly.
That, yeah, so. But if you got a big stomach, though, I don't know. A big stomach, small stomach, I don't know. It's the same. Everybody's different. You're right. I totally agree. But now, does it matter about the type of protein? I mean, you mentioned eggs in the morning and then chicken later, or you're saying it. I mean, how do you work it? I mean, in terms of when do you take what?
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to mention that when I'm talking about proteins, I'm talking about pretty much whole proteins that have a complete spectrum of amino acids. I'm probably going to offend some of our vegan listeners right now and vegetarian listeners, but I'm talking about protein sources from animals, beans, products that have a complete spectrum of the amino acids that we need. I'm not saying that the proteins you get from broccoli and other, you know, grains aren't going to help you, but I don't count them towards my total 180 grams that I might need for that day. I think
okay.
Those are extras that eventually they'll come together, like a lot of our vegetarian and vegan listeners believe, is that they will assimilate and come together and pull from one another to reach that full spectrum of amino acids. But after that, I'd say in the morning I'm trying to get a quick protein because, you know, I've been fasting from 6 to 8 hours all night.
Okay. Right.
So I'm trying to get something quick in me. Egg whites are a great source because they digest very fast. Otherwise, I'd probably go with a protein shake due to the speed reasons. It's just
okay.
I want something into my muscles that have been fasting and starving for the last anywhere from 5 to 8 hours. You want to feed them right away.
Gotcha.
And I'm probably going to eat then every 3 hours after that. And meals are going to vary from, you know, beef, chicken, fish, and that doesn't matter so much. Before my workout, I'm going to go with a lower-fat protein source just because fat can interfere a little bit with nitric oxide production and then could take away a little bit from your pump. But the next most important meal is your post-workout meal, which is going to be, again, a fast type of protein, which is, you know, whey isolate or a very fast type of protein, like a hydrolyzed casein from like a Pepto-Pro or something.
Okay.
And then an hour after that, I probably have a whole food meal with another fast digesting protein such as eggs, fish, chicken, and then maybe before bed, I'd have a cottage cheese or beef that's going to digest a little bit slower and keep feeding my body as I sleep.
As you sleep. Okay. All right. Now,
so to break it down a little easier, Steve, I'd go
okay.
Morning fast, midday, you know, average to slow digesting protein, post-workout fast, nighttime, slow.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, is that only on the days that you work that you actually doing resistance training, or is that for any day?
That's every day, except for the only thing on days you don't work out, you don't drink your post-workout protein shake. So
okay.
Hypothetically, if you consider that one of your six meals or your meals throughout the day, you just substitute in a regular protein shake or another meal that will help us reach our protein requirements that we need for that day.
Okay, all right. You know, because I was kind of thinking about maybe the people that don't do resistance training and, you know, they're doing maybe aerobic activity of some sort,
okay.
Even just walking or whatever. Maybe they're walking. Maybe they, you know, or they like to run or something like that. I mean, so they still got to take in some kind of nutrition, too. And you're saying protein is going to be important. So how would they gear their day? I mean, what would they do? Is it after a run that they should increase it or what?
Let's say hypothetically for the person looking, your weekend warrior, your your average person who's not like a super crazy fitness enthusiast or runner, who's just trying to get into better shape, I would advocate whole food meals for them. So after a run, I'd say go home, eat your meal that you're on for that day, and get your protein, your carbs, your fats, you know, a balanced meal. Now, let's say if I was dealing with an athlete or a runner training for a marathon who's looking for performance, not necessarily a physique transformation, I would probably advocate them a recovery shake of some sort with carbs and protein mixed together to restore not only the protein but your glycogen levels to your liver and your muscles.
Okay. Now, what would be the ratio between, I mean, you know, how much, in terms of how much carbs and how much protein, what do you think? Because normally, you know, the theory's been that, I mean, after you do resistance training, you need some carbs and to actually spike the insulin levels to push the protein in. But if you're just, you know, just a typical cardio or aerobic athlete, what do you suggest?
Okay, well, there's actually a theory on all this that it should be 4-to-1 carbs to protein. You know, that's great for a performance aspect because you're going to really be getting in your carbs. You're going to definitely restore your glycogen levels, but I think that's a little high for most people. I'd probably go more so as a 2-to-1 carbs to protein, or even for most people, if they're a little chubbier or got a little more body fat on them, I'd go with a 3-to-2, which is like a 1.5-to-1, just to keep things more balanced. And you're not getting such a huge insulin spike, and hopefully they're not going to store as many calories as body fat.
Calories. Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. So it's kind of an individual thing. Yeah.
It is definitely an individual thing.
Okay. I got you. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So you know, talking about you know, the different types of protein, and you know, and then you know what you're doing for your body rate. As far as your proteins, how much protein you need per gram of body weight. How would a person that basically has not actually gotten that far to that level? How would they, you know, in terms of, you know, actually measuring everything out that much, you know, what would be a basic plan that you'd start them on? Because I'm sure you got several people walking to the gym and you're trying to explain this to them and they have no clue what you're saying. You know, they don't, like, just like you said last week, you know, they couldn't tell a protein from alcohol. So really, you know, so you have to kind of like, you know, walk them through what they should be doing, or do you just say, look, sit down, eat this, and then call me in 2 weeks? What's your plan?
Well, initially, I believe a food log is huge, not only for the client, but the trainer. I'm going to figure out what you're eating, and then from there I can go on and explain what is good and bad from your diet and what we can replace to fix what you're doing wrong right now. If I was going to try to explain nutrition and bare bones, you know, to most people, I would just explain, you know, proteins are coming from primarily animal sources. We do get them from a few beans and other products that are complete spectrums of amino acids, but I'd put it that way. And depending on how much protein they would need, I'd probably tell them, okay, in each meal you're going to need approximately this much protein, and then I would offer them, okay, if you need 30 grams of protein, that's roughly 5 to 6 ounces of boneless, skinless chicken breast. Or
gotcha.
Another option would be, you know, let's see, 8 egg whites, something like that. That would reach your 30 grams of protein you need. So I would explain it that way and try to break it down almost individually per meal what your macronutrients should equal.
I got you. Okay. So you'd basically take them to the point that, look, this is what you need to eat. And then as you looked over their meal plan or their meal log, I should say, you say, look, this is what you need to change or what you need to actually add or something in there in order to make sure that you reach your goals of getting your the correct amount of protein for your body. Okay, I get you. Okay. Well, And you also mentioned that fats is very important too, which, I mean, you know, we've been hearing, like you said, you know, in the media for the last 30 years, you know, get rid of the fat, get rid of the fat, so on and so forth. But you're saying there are certain fats that you can, that you should be putting in your diet. And so I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation, because everybody's trying to figure out how to get it out or try to at least eliminate, and you're saying you should be putting something in there. So I think everybody wants to hear this.
Oh, you know, fat is such a taboo word. Everybody believes fat is what gets you fat. But fat is really an important aspect of our diet. We can't digest certain vitamins, actually A, D, E, and K, the fat-soluble vitamins. Therefore, you're going to need some fat in your diet. Other health benefits are, you know, it's going to cushion your joints. It's going to take care of your skin. Fats are just very important. They've gotten a bad rap kind of because they're twice as much calories per gram as a carb or a protein plus one, if you want to be nitpicky with me. But the big thing that I've noticed with most people is that they try to avoid saturated fats, myself included. You know, we were led to believe that saturated fats actually will cause heart disease, clog our arteries. But there's two in particular that I would like to talk about today. Okay. I'm going to start with CLA, which is conjugated linoleic acid.
Okay.
And linoleic acid is an acid that's found in the body that's used to help prevent cancer and reduce body fat. So therefore, it would be beneficial in our diet to ingest some CLA. CLA is the conjugated aspect of that, is just the combination of certain types of linoleic acid that come together.
Okay.
Sources of that have CLA, like animal sources that have CLA in them, are typically red meat. Now, the problem with the red meat that we eat normally is that it's not a grass-fed diet, and that's where the cows are going to get that CLA, is from eating grass and producing it naturally in their body. So a good source of CLA found naturally is to buy some grass-fed beef, which, you know, you can find at most health food stores, and they you'll get a good probably gram or two of CLA per 8 ounces of grass-fed beef. So right there, that's a good source. Otherwise, most people supplement with it. And I think that's probably the most the efficient and easy way to do it. I mean, grass-fed beef is a little pricey, and it can be hard to find. You can't find it at most regular grocery stores.
Gotcha. Okay.
And now, then the real one that – what were you going to say, Steve?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm listening.
And then the real one that I think has tons of health benefits that I didn't really know much about till just recently is – I mean, I heard a little bit – is coconut oil.
Coconut oil
is not only good as far as it's good to cook with, but it has extensive, you know, research done on what it can do for your body.
I'm sorry, but I lost track here. Now, does coconut oil have CLA in it or no?
No. I'm stepping away from CLA right now.
Okay.
And
all right,
I'm
sorry,
talking
okay.
about coconut oil, which is primarily a saturated fat.
That is
formulated what's most fitness people would know as MCTs, or medium triglycerides, which is a source of energy that the body can assimilate and use very quickly. So if you're on a low-carb diet, or you are looking to cut a little bit of body fat, coconut oil is great, because you're not going to get that insulin spike that you would from ingesting some carbs like Gatorade or something before a workout. But the coconut oil is going to be just as fast and give you just as much energy without the possibility of storing it as body fat.
Okay.
Some other good things about coconut oil is that it's been known to help with heart disease. It's good for your skin, immunity, digestion. I mean, the list goes on and on. But as far as from a performance standpoint, coconut oil for myself has proven to really give me that boost of energy where I feel like I can keep going throughout my workout without getting that high and lows from certain types of carbohydrates.
Okay. Now I got to ask you. Okay, now, I know how to get grass-fed beef, you're saying beef, into my diet. You know, I just go down to the health food store and pick up some grass-fed beef is what you're saying. But now, and I know what the taste is going to be like. It's going to be like me. If I prepare it right, it's going to taste good. But now, how do you add just coconut oil in your diet, and what does it taste like? Or do you just take a spoonful of it like your mom and just like your mom used to do when you were a little kid and put something down your throat? I mean, how does that work? I mean, how would you suggest adding? I understand it's good, but how do you add it into your diet, though, you know, into a regular plan?
Well, I'll tell you, I've done it both ways. Coconut oil, probably for most people, the easiest way to add it into your diet would be through cooking with it, cooking your grass-fed beef on the stove in coconut oil. Or, you know.
Okay.
It's got a very high burn, what am I trying to say? It's got a good high heat. It handles high heat well.
Okay.
And other than that, I've taken it. Taking a spoonful, put it right down my throat, and I think it tastes fairly good. It's solid, of course. It's got almost like a buttery texture to it. I find that's the best way to do it as far as with protein shakes and everything. I'll just take a spoonful of it, drink my protein shake, and I'm ready to hit the gym.
Gotcha. Okay. So you just eat it by itself. Now, how does it taste on salad? Maybe, I don't know, salad dressing? Is that part of it? Is that a possibility? Or the taste is just not going to be there? I don't know.
You know what? It's solid, so unless you melted it, that's the only way it could be a salad dressing. But as far as the taste, I've cooked eggs in it, I've cooked beef in it, I've cooked other meat products, and you can hardly taste the coconut oil, unless you went really overboard on the amount that you used.
Okay.
But I can hardly taste any of it, and to be honest, it adds kind of a nice little coconut taste. If you don't like coconut, you're probably not going to want to cook with it because you don't want to tarnish the taste of your food that you're eating. But
you can
hardly notice the taste.
Okay, all right, okay. But you're saying basically to get it in your diet, you should cook with it. I mean, just like kind of like Rick. So instead of cooking oil, the easiest way to get it in there is just to cook with it or something. Not on a salad or something like that, but just to cook. I understand. I get it. Okay. Well, so that makes a lot of sense. And so, and then if you're eating the grass fed beef, and then you're cooking it with the coconut oil, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck there with saturated fat with CLA, and then your coconut oil here. Okay, I get it. That sounds good. Oh, well, I tell you, got to make note of that. That's for sure. Are there any other fats you should ingest? I mean, because
well,
I know all the ones you shouldn't use.
Yeah, you know, most commonly, your omega-3s are huge, and then your poly and monounsaturated fats are going to help balance out the diet. I mean, the omega-3s are probably the most important, along with your healthy saturated fats that I discussed earlier. And some good sources of omega-3s, you know, salmon, walnuts are a good source of omega-3s. And then, of course, most people supplement their omega-3s through fish oil. And that's the best way to get them.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, so you're saying fat's not all that bad. In fact, it's a good thing to put some of it in there. Now, you know, we talked about a little bit when protein, there was some kind of ratio. I know we're saying too much of anything is a bad thing, but what's the kind of typical guideline for fats, period? I mean, especially if you're going to go out and buy grass-fed beef that you know has fat in there. I mean, is there a certain per gram, per lean body weight that you should be looking for, or total body weight, or what? I mean, just give me some kind of guidelines to say, 20 grams a day or something. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, it's going to, of course, depend on the person's body weight. And I'm a big believer for most average people that a 40% protein, 30% carb, and 30% fat intake is going to give most people the physique and energy levels that they need to reach their fitness goals. So that's typically known as the zone diet, and that's 40% protein, 30% carbs, and 30% fat. So you'd have to figure out your amount of fats you're getting in by just calculating your lean body mass multiplied by the percentage that you're looking to get from each macronutrient. So I'd say 30% of your diet should come from healthy fats.
Okay. All right. 30%. Okay. In terms of total calories, okay.
Yeah.
Based on your lean body weight. Gotcha. Okay. Excellent. Okay. We're coming up on our break here. I think we want to stop at that note with the fats and the proteins. We got some more stuff coming up after the break. I want to talk about a couple of things that are out there now in order for weight loss and exercise. And then I'm going to come back and ask you about a tip. So with that, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. Keith, I appreciate it. I'll see you after the break.
All right, thank you, Steve. Yep.
Okay.
Johnny killed his sweetheart when he was but 14. Stabbed her to the heart. Crows picked the bone so clean that now on yonder mountain so widely do they clean. The Johnny hath grown old for manhood he hath seen, and is cold out in there on the mountain where she lies. There's no salt on the sill, there's no black ribbon on the hide. Why is it easier to love her when she's gone and you never see her smile, never touch her skin, no why, never walk that crooked mile to walk you. Something circles in the sky, looking down where devil lies. Black wings flutter by with black hair in the bee. Johnny had four boys and I guess a wife between, sweet and mild wild, and she doesn't mean a thing, but boys will play at killing, they will shoot with sticks and things, sees his fingers in their hands, he sees them murdering, and is cold out there on the shadow of his eyes, where they touch them when they cry, never walk that crooked mile to walk them free. Something circles in the sky, looking down where devil lies. Black wings flutter by with black hair and blue beak, and ears disappear like a dream that hits the day, like a dream that...
Okay, welcome back to Zone In. I'm Steve Lewis, and I'm talking with Mr. Keith Johnson, bodybuilder and personal trainer out of Schererville, Illinois. Sorry, okay. Keith, when we left off, we were just getting ready to look at some stuff that's trending now in the fitness world. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, have you ever heard of this stuff or this type of exercise called prancercise? I mean, we got some new stuff out there now, you know, that's even, you know, like Zumba, but I've never heard this prancercise, and it seems to be catching on, especially on the West Coast.
You know, Steve, I had never heard of prancercise until you brought it to my attention, and I looked into it a little bit, and all what I can say is that it'll give you a good laugh as far as the whole concept and everything. I mean, you are definitely going to burn some calories doing it. Do I think it's the most effective way of physique transformation or weight loss? Definitely not. But if you like looking like a horse galloping around in your local park or down your street, then I think prancercise might be for you.
I got you. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a little different. I mean, I'm not sure how they came up with it. You know, we've always said that walking is good for you. But the prancing, I'm thinking what I see it is that it does, because you're doing additional movement while you're walking, and you, because of this prancer-like style, you are raising your heartbeat just a little bit heavier if you were walking. Now, the thing is that how much, you know, you have to, you should be raising your heart rate by, and so on and so forth. You know, that's the individual thing too. But the fact that I think it lends something more than just a boring walk down through the neighborhood or back to the store or something like that. But I thought it was interesting because so many people now are now catching on to this, and I can't say enough that, you know, we got to start looking at something to get a hold of this obesity epidemic. It's just outrageous. I mean, really, now it's just, you know, I think, like, you know, we were talking before, you know, with the helicopter parents and the kids sitting there on the couch just playing these video games. But now, but the prancercise, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure how you basically, you know, get into this movement. I mean, so if you're thinking that you don't want to, you know, if you want a certain physique, I guess, if you want a certain physique image or whatever, this is what's going to help you just basically lose weight and keep going. So I don't know. There's not really anything wrong with it. I just think that, it's different. And I didn't really see any numbers on what the age group or the, you know, which population, which demographic of the of our population was actually into this. But the woman that started it, she says she's in her 60s, and she looks really very good. So I mean, I don't know, but she's always been kind of like, you know, into fitness. So it's a little different for her. I think this is just something that she just, you know, instead of going out and being a runner every day, and, you know, and hurting the knees and, you know, the ankles and the hips and everything else, I think she came up with this. So really, I can't complain. I'm still trying to get around, you know, here it is, some almost 30 years later, I'm still trying to get around jazzercise, but they went from jazzercise and now they're doing Zumba. So, more power to them. That's what I say. I mean, really, this, it looks like something if you're in tune with it. And I'm thinking, you know, this is probably going to be somewhere around, you know, my age group, you know, 50, 55, 60 maybe, that you're going to think maybe this might be something for you if you really don't want to get in the gym and, you know, put some extra work into doing what, you know, a lot of other people do. So I don't know. But if it works, great. So, and again, we just got through talking about diet, so I think any exercise that you combine with diet, you're going to get some good results. So, I
agree with you on that one, Steve. And it's cheap. You know, all you need are some ankle weights, and you're ready to go out and hit the park and exercise.
Yeah, and you know those ankle weights. That's the only thing that I had an issue with. Because it seems like there might be a pull on the ligaments, but she didn't seem like she had any problems. I mean, looking at it,
ankle weights are such an old school thing, and they have been shown to lead to ligament and some damage and some uncomfortable aspects. So I would probably go sans ankle weights, but I mean, I think that's, again, maybe an individual thing. Maybe somebody would enjoy having a little extra ankle weight with them. But I think it's a if you're having fun exercising and you're seeing the results you want to see, then more power to the prancercisers out there.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly what I say. And I think, but now if I was going to do it, if somebody were to ask me, you know, how would you do it? I would get away from the ankle weights. I would get maybe a weighted vest. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Because, you know, I don't think that putting the weights on your feet, around your legs, is going to lend you some, it might cause more problems than you're prepared to handle. So I think the weighted vest. But, again, the weighted vest is going to be a little bit more expensive than the ankle weights. So, you know, it depends on what you want to do. And like I said, I don't know which demographic of the population is actually using this, but you know, she's in her 60s, so she looks good, and she's obviously got a huge following, so it looks pretty good.
She had over 7 million views on her YouTube video.
I don't know if it's because they were interested in the exercise or they just wanted to see this woman prance. I don't know which one it was. I'm still trying to figure that out.
50-50,
exactly right. But she had some kind of seminar, and they all showed up. So there, you know, she had at least 2,000-3,000 people show up. So I mean, that's
wow.
Quite a following. Yeah. So
yeah, that's pretty good. More power to her.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing in the news now. Now this one really gets me. So it's called deep tissue breathing for fat loss. So the background on this is okay. In order to lose weight, your body needs oxygen, which is why you exercise. Because when you exercise, it forces your body to go out, suck in air, bring it into the lungs, and then once, in order to metabolize the oxygen that comes in, your body's got to use the fat that's on your body in order to help burn that oxygen that just came in. Well, this new way of thinking about exercise, like I guess you want to call it, is it exercise? I don't know. But the way you're thinking about it is that you sit back and just breathe deep. I mean, I'm laughing, but the thought is really not, it's really not that far-fetched. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, you really got to think about what they're saying. I mean, they're saying that you have to breathe deep. Now, the only thing here is that when you exercise normally, along with deep breathing comes an elevation of the heart rate, which forces things to, you know, help metabolize. But here, if you're just deep breathing, I don't know if you're going to get any result. But apparently, there's a large following with this. I mean, well, what are your thoughts?
You know, back in college, I remember doing my resting metabolic rate. And I did it at least probably 7-8 times. We all had to do it with each other for, you know, a grade. But the more I would breathe in deeply, the more of an actual higher resting metabolic rate I would get.
Okay.
Now, so therefore, there's some, you know, backing from that as far as if you do breathe in a little deeper, you might burn more calories. But, you know, they're advocating doing this for 2 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Every day, and with gentle exercise, I noticed was mostly what they were advocating. Therefore, I mean, right there, I see a little to no change happening from improving the resting
okay.
metabolic rate for 2 minutes
right.
a day.
Right.
But I mean,
yeah.
I think maybe it'll get a calming effect from it. You know, whenever somebody's getting worked up, they always say, take a deep breath. So, hey. Maybe
right.
for that, and you'll burn a couple extra calories while relaxing. Are you going to catch me doing it too often? Probably not, but hey, whatever gets people out there exercising and feeling good and losing body fat, I say go for it.
But now the question here, Keith, is this exercise? I mean, is this really exercise? Just breathing
no,
deep, is that exercise? I mean,
no, this is
we
not
gotta
exercise.
Look at that. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is a good ploy for people who don't want to exercise to think they're doing something to change their body. That's my opinion. I mean, I just, you know, everybody wants to do everything in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. Nobody wants to work hard anymore. And
exactly.
So I just think this is going to draw people's attention when they see that 2 minutes a day burn more calories aspect. So I think it's a good marketing ploy. I didn't see along with it, there might be companies along selling supplements with the deep breathing people, but I think it's just a good way to market, you know, quick weight loss.
You know, I was talking to you before, and some of your background was, you know, you played sports, and, you know, I know you played baseball and some football, you know, and I remember back when I was playing, one of the things that they give us, you know, in order to make sure that we were, you know, properly ready to go back on the field when I was playing football, probably ready to go back on the field, is they'd have oxygen out there. You know, so now, but I don't remember anybody experiencing any weight loss by taking in the extra oxygen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So if I was going to look at this and say, okay, this really works, let's go back and look at all the individuals that now have to take in oxygen just based on the fact that maybe their lungs are not functioning properly. So, and then to see, you know, once they came in, what their weight was, and once they started on this oxygen regimen, you know, what that is, and then what works. I don't really know. My problem with the whole thing is that it gives the message to people, you don't have to do anything. You just sit back and just breathe deep and lose weight, and that's it. And I think that's the wrong message. That's why we got a third of the population already obese. So, yeah.
Exactly. It's advocating not exercising. And that's the complete opposite message we're trying to send to people. And it just furthers laziness. So
yeah.
I think deep breathing's got to go.
Okay. Okay. Well, Keith, those are two, you know, types of exercises. You know, we're going to just let the, you know, general population figure out, you know, if they need, you know, exercise or deep breathing, we'll let them go from there. But now, before you get out of here, I want to ask you, you know, maybe if you got a couple of tips for anybody, you know, about, you know, how do they, you know, get that old tummy down and, or, you know, or kind of tone their body up.
You know what I'd like to talk about right now? You know, we're reaching the end of our summer months here in by us in the Midwest. But
okay.
People are still going on vacation, and, you know, they're asking me, how can I stick with my fitness goals? How can I still exercise when I'm at the hotel or at the resort? Or, you know, and there's a couple ways of doing it. You know, most hotels might have a gym, but very rarely do they have weights or proper, you know, cardio equipment. So you'd be surprised what you can get out of your own body weight and a gallon of water. I mean, I remember going on vacation when I was a kid, when I first started getting into this, probably when I was about 19, to my parents' cottage way up north. There's nothing there except for, you know, some lakes, and that's about it. So I would take a gallon of water, 2 gallons of water, and you'd be surprised. I could do bicep curls, side lateral raises, overhead presses, tricep kickbacks, push-ups, dips, squats holding the gallons of water, and lunges. And that was all with just $2 gallons of water. And look how much I could do right there. So as far as that goes, you can. What I'm trying to advocate, you can continue to get a quick workout in, even when you're on vacation, to help not get too sidetracked from when you come home.
Right.
And I think that's very important for all of us, just to keep a little in touch. And you're going to feel better and look better while you're on vacation, and that's not a bad thing either.
That's great. Yeah, okay, that's true. Now, how about if you're at work or something? I mean, and you can't get out, you know, to go to the gym or, you know, get away to do your normal exercise if you do running or whatever. I mean, you know, you need something to keep your heart rate up, but for, you know, for a certain period of time in order to burn those extra calories that you're probably taking in. So, but what do you suggest?
Exactly. I mean, you can sneak away and exercise for a couple minutes. I mean, doing even some push-ups or some sit-ups, or
there you go. Okay.
Walking on your lunch break. I think a lot of people, you know, you can eat pretty quick. Most people. So you got an extra 45 minutes after your 15-minute lunch. Go walk around. Go walk in the park nearby or do some basic calisthenics, push-ups, pull-ups, dips, body weight stuff. If you have a super busy day and can't make it to the gym, you're still going to be able to go home and feel like you still got a halfway decent workout in.
Right.
So I just, people need to better utilize their time. I've been guilty of this. You know, I'll have an hour break and I'll sit around for an hour and I'll eat and that's about it, where I could be, you know, maybe hopping on some cardio equipment or going outside for a quick jog or riding the bike, you know. That's something that we all need to probably focus on, is just better time utilization. I hear it all the time. I don't have time to work out. I doubt that most people cannot work out. If you cut out an extra half hour from your sleep or from your leisure time, you'd be able to work out.
Yeah, that's true. I think what you're saying here is that, and I agree, is that you got to be committed to it to say I'm going to do it. It's just a matter of being motivated in order to do it, and I think that's what the whole thing is. I mean, because they're selling. I mean, look at the industry now with all these video games and the different electronic devices we all have. So I mean, really, come on. We're saying, you can afford some time off to go, do something. So, yeah,
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of the best workouts I've had, Steve, is when I've been on time constraints. You know, a half hour, 20 minutes, getting a quick workout in, those are some of the most intense and best workouts I've ever had.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing. You're right. Especially when I know I had to get in there and I had to move, I just zoom right through it. Well, that's great, Keith. Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry, but we're almost out of time here. I really appreciate you stopping by, and I'm hoping you come back.
Keith, thanks again for having me. I really had a great time.
Yeah, same here. And, again, I'm thinking some more about this Prancercise. I maybe have to do something this weekend to see what else.
We might have to get together for a Prancercise session here.
Well, definitely some deep breathing. I don't know. I want to see how that works. That's right. Okay. All right, Keith, I appreciate it, man. We're going to talk to you next time.
All right, Steve, thanks again for having me.
Thank you. Okay, this is Steve Lewis. We're signing out. You've just been zoned in. I'll see you back next week. Thank you.
Bring the action.
When you hear this in the club, you're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.